We know he doesn't play well still drunk. So we'll see if getting him angry helps.
What about getting a redrunk?
Oh yeah, what's in the mug, Coach Hans?
A little bit of the bubbly. Nice. It's a mimosa, but I don't have any orange juice, so I use pineapple juice.
Oh, okay. Oh. I thought you were going to say, so it's just a mug of champagne.
It's a mimosa. No orange juice, please.
It's like when I used to go to, when I was at Virginia Tech, sometimes I'd go to my roommate's frat parties, and I don't drink, so people ask me, what are you drinking? I'm like, a really weak rum and Coke. Well, not weak. No rum.
No rum.
This is the 2020 Sports Trivia Face-Off Invitational Tournament.
That's right. You have downloaded Season 3, Episode 11. This is the third quarterfinal in our STFO Tourney Invitational. This week, we are pitting Joe against Marcus. We will get to them in just a second. First is the best co-host in the world, Aaron. Aaron, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. I am most of the way through my first pot of coffee, so the day just keeps getting brighter.
Sweet. I have had 3 Mountain Dews already, so I could know how that feels. Joe, would you remind our listeners about Joe, please?
Hey, everyone. I'm Joe, living in Brooklyn, New York, attorney by day, trivia host by night.
Sounds good. And Marcus, we haven't talked to you in a while, so please remind everybody about Marcus.
Marcus Ellis, I live in Everett, Washington, which is north of Seattle, and I work at Boeing. And then I also coach football, so yeah, just living the dream, baby.
Alrighty, and as a reminder to everybody, here is how the game works.
Here are the rules for the Sports Trivia Face-Off. Each player will get a chance to answer 5 questions in a category they choose. If they answer correctly, they get 10 points. If not, their opponent can answer on the rebound for 5 points. Twice per game, a player may challenge his opponent to answer a question first for 10 points, but the opponent can answer correctly for 15 points. 2 intermission questions are worth up to 20 points, and we will explain the shootout once we get there.
Joe, I'm going to give you the honor and the duty of calling the toss of the coin. Would you like heads or would you like tails?
Let's go with tails.
Hey, Google, flip a coin.
It landed on tails.
Tails. Yeah, let's go.
Play or defer the first period category.
He's so mad.
That'll determine what happens in the second period, and whoever is trailing will go first in the third period. Yeah, Marcus is still mad about that match from a month ago. Go figure.
Never not mad about it. And if you're wondering, yes, Josh did get the sweep and sleep.
Oh, that reminds me of a Carlin line, but that's not suitable for this podcast. Joe, we are to you. You have to choose between or pass Hound Dog, Viva Las Vegas, or Aaron's Cats every time we record an episode.
Oh, boy. What a variety. Let's go with, Viva Las Vegas.
Viva Las Vegas. These are 5 questions about famous games involving the Las Vegas Raiders.
Oh, no. All right, then.
The now Las Vegas Raiders. Number 1. In 1999, Rule 3, Section 22, Article 2, Note 2, came into play in the NFL with the express purpose of screwing over the Raiders 3 years later. What did Rule 3, Section 22, Article 2, Note 2 introduce?
It is the informally known as the Tuck Rule.
The Tuck Rule is correct for 10 points. That's when it all started for the Patriots. Number 2, the Raiders ended the Dolphins' chances of a 3rd Super Bowl in a row in 1974 when Ken Stabler threw an 8-yard pass to Clarence Davis, who was tightly covered by Finn's defenders, but somehow managed to come away with the ball. By what name is this play and game known?
I'm not sure. I don't want a challenge. A special name for that Super Bowl? or no, not that Super Bowl, that game. Yeah, I don't know. I'll just go with the Fumble-Rooski game.
The Fumble-Rooski game is incorrect, Marcus.
The Sea of Hands.
The Sea of Hands is correct for a 5-point rebound.
Nice.
Stabler threw into triple coverage.
So right to about 5 feet away from me is my Raiders hat that I almost wore today. Once he said I don't think I'm going to challenge, I was like, okay, then I might as well just out myself now.
Yeah. Number three. Ken Stabler, Pete Banaszak, and Dave Casper all admitted later in life to doing what in order to score on the San Diego Chargers in a controversial 1978 game?
Huh. Jeez. This is... See, old school football is not my forte. Hoping you get more recent questions, but jeez. What did they do? Stabler's quarterback, Casper's tight end. What did they do? Let's go. Faked injuries. That's my
faked
guess.
Injuries is incorrect, Marcus.
They intentionally kicked the ball forward or fumbled the ball forward so they could
They batted the ball forward and purposely fumbled. Yes, that's correct for 5 points. Stabler flicked the ball forward, which was ruled a fumble. Banaszak lost his footing and pitched the ball even closer to the end zone, where Casper got the ball, batted it, and kicked it into the end zone and fell on it for the score. And I think now that's the reason that the offense can't advance a fumble.
Can't advance a fumble under 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's under 2 minutes. Now if you fumble it, it goes back to where you fumbled. If the team that fumbled recovers, it goes back to where it was let go. So that doesn't happen anymore.
Right, nice. Exactly.
So, there we go. That's why we have that rule now. Makes sense.
Number four, back to Joe. NBC decided to cut away from a Raiders-Jets games as the Jets were ahead by 1 point with a minute left. The Raiders ended up scoring 2 touchdowns in the final minutes. Of course, no TV viewers saw this because NBC decided to air a TV movie adaptation of what classic children's novel instead?
Okay, yeah, I got this one. This is known as the Heidi Bowl because they cut to the movie Heidi.
That is the movie Heidi. NBC received further criticism for showing the final score on screen during the movie. And number five, what Raiders linebacker knocked the hell out of Frenchy Fuqua, causing the ball to fly backwards and into the hands of Franco Harris for what would be known as the Immaculate Reception?
Darn it. Yeah, that's famous. I don't know who the linebacker was. I'm not sure if I can come up with the name of a linebacker. Jeez. Raiders linebacker. I'll just guess Lambert.
Lambert is incorrect, Marcus.
So, slight offense to our trivia writer here, Mr. Ryan Clefcorn Myers.
Uh-oh.
But he played safety, and he should be in the Hall of Fame, but people won't because they're dumb. That would be the assassin, Jack Tatum.
Jack Tatum is correct for 5 points. Tatum's New York Times obituary stated that Tatum was a symbol of a violent game. His shoulder pad also collided with Patriots receiver Daryl Stingley, leaving Stingley a quadriplegic for the rest of his life. And in the hospital after the incident, the only person to visit Stingley from either team was Raiders coach John Madden. Well, there's some happy flavor text. Thank you for that, Ryan.
Yeah, and that's why he won't get in, is because of that play. But he hit people way, way harder in other games. Like, he famously knocked out Sammy Moore in the Super Bowl and was knocked his helmet off and knocked him completely unconscious, and that was worse than the Stingley hit, but he'll never get in.
I don't know that that's the strongest argument. Like, yeah, he crippled that one guy, and also he hit people way harder, therefore he should be allowed in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I guess I'm saying it was a fluke thing, it was a freak thing, and people hold that against him, which it's obviously that's horrible. Like, you know, obviously a guy getting paralyzed on the field is bad, but I think that outweighs, or that is tipping the scale for people to not get him in the Hall of Fame.
Gotcha.
Okay. Marcus, we are to you. You have to choose between Hound Dog and Aaron's cats every time we record an episode. So do you want dogs or cats?
Let me say I'm really upset that he got that Raiders category, if you can't tell.
I know. I had to play defense pretty much. Yeah, it's
That sucked. Anyways, I'm going to go with Hound Dog.
Hound Dog. These are five questions about canine sports things. Number one, in a 2001 game against the Jaguars, the Dog Pound started throwing plastic Miller Lite bottles at the referees and the Jags after the officiating squad overruled a first down that Cleveland earned on a 4th-and-1. What NFL commissioner personally called to overrule the refs, leading to the referees and Jags getting absolutely pelted by even more plastic to that day?
Need some pushpins and string to figure out this question.
Yeah.
That was a long way to go for a commissioner question. But the commissioner before the current one was Paul Tagliabue.
That is correct. The Jaguars ended up winning 15-10. Number two, 10 of the 18 Greyhound racing tracks in the U.S. are to be phased out by 2020 due to the citizens of what state voting against it? This is bad news for the Derby Lane Greyhound track, the Orange Park Kennel Club, and the Naples Fort Myers Track and Entertainment Center.
Florida.
Florida is correct for 10 points. A few tracks remain in Alabama, Arkansas, Iowa, Texas, and West Virginia.
Who would have thunk it? Florida not being crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
They voted for that the same time they voted to give people who'd been convicted of felonies the right to vote again. It was a big year in Florida last year. Mm-hmm. Good job, Florida.
Number three. In 2006, what Bulldog tied with J.J. Redick for the Oscar Robertson Trophy, awarded to the best men's college basketball player by the U.S. Basketball Writers Association?
Georgia Bulldog. Georgia's not a basketball school, so it's got to be somebody who's... I don't think it's right, but I think he's the only Georgia Bulldog I know. So I'll say Kentavious Caldwell Pope.
That is incorrect, Joe.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But yeah, Georgia's not a big basketball school. I'm trying to remember. You said 2006?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'll just go with Lucky Johnson.
Lucky Johnson is incorrect. I think you guys got hung up on Georgia Bulldogs. We were looking for a Gonzaga player, Adam Morrison.
Adam Morrison. Oh, Adam Morrison.
Corn stash. Why did I say Georgia? Yeah.
He was,
I should have asked for the question again. What a dick.
He was very successful with Gonzaga, but struggled during his brief time in the NBA. Yeah.
And with growing the mustache.
Terrible stash. Yeah, the terrible stash.
It can't be worse than Austin Matthews's.
I don't know. Look, take a look at Adam Morrison's. It's rough.
We're gonna have to do a side by side. Let the fans decide.
The fact that both of you are like, oh, with the mustache, I feel like is pretty telling. Like if that's
that's fair.
He was
Michael Jordan's first draft pick.
Yeah, the Bobcats. DM. He was either second or third overall. That's one of the reasons why we're just things where people would start to question Michael Jordan, because like you would think he would know everything, and then he drafts Adam Morrison. It's like, you know, maybe we should get actual GM on this.
Michael Jordan, possibly bad person? What?
Number four. All right. And also in 2006, who became the first football-specific mascot inducted into the Mascot Hall of Fame?
There's one above all, and he's got the most Roman numerals after his name, I think. So I'm going to say Bevo.
But Bevo is incorrect, Joe.
All right, so if we're going with Bulldogs, I'm going to guess it's Handsome Dan.
Handsome Dan is also incorrect. We were looking for K.C. Wolfe.
Ooh,
from the Kansas City Chiefs.
Did not know that.
And I won't read Ryan's flavor text word for word, but Ryan doesn't like K.C. Wolfe.
Not a fan.
Like Kansas City. Jeez.
And number five, what is the name of the precious, wonderful, adorable, lovable Labrador Retriever mascot for my St. Louis Blues?
Waffles.
Waffles is incorrect, Joe.
You know what? I should really start paying attention to when you post in the Facebook group, because you post about this all the time, and it's cute when he's all chasing down the pucks, but I don't remember the name. Is it blue related or no? Is it jazz related? Is it anything? Bingo. I'm guessing Bingo.
Bingo is incorrect. Aaron, you want to take this one?
It's Barkley.
Barkley. Barkley. No points awarded on that one. Named after Barkley Plager, who has been with the Blues since day one.
Yes.
And that takes us to the first intermission category. I'm going to give you a successful pair of athletes, and you need to name the sport in which they succeeded. Number one, Sarah Errani and Roberta Vinci.
Yep.
Number two, Gabriella Papadakis and Guillaume Cizeron. Number three, Misty May Traynor and Carrie Walsh Jennings. And number four, Dong Yiping and Cao Hong. While these guys think about that, this pair of trivia hosts is going to send you to a promo.
Just a quick reminder to support us at patreon.com/sportstriviafaceoff so we can continue to offer great sports trivia.
You should definitely donate money because it helps us with things. I'm bad at this.
You're right. You are. Yeah, sorry. We are back with the first intermission where we gave them a successful pair of athletes and they were to name the sports in which they succeeded. Number one, let's start with Joe. Sarah Errani and Roberta Vinci.
I'm pretty sure those are tennis players.
And Marcus?
I also said tennis players.
Tennis is correct. 5 points apiece. Number two, Gabriella Papadakis and Guillaume Cizeron. Marcus?
I said golf.
And Joe?
Yeah, I also said golf. I think I was trying to think of a two-gendered game. European names, golf.
And the sport we were looking for was ice dancing.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
All right.
Number three to Joe, Misty May Traynor and Carrie Walsh Jennings.
Yeah, these are the beach volleyball.
And Marcus?
I said volleyball and in parentheses put beach.
That's fair. 5 points apiece. And number four, Marcus, Dong Yiping and Cao Hong.
I said table tennis.
And Joe?
I'm assuming they're famous Chinese tennis players. Table tennis players.
Table tennis is correct. So you both picked up 15 points on that one.
Nice.
And after the first intermission, Marcus has a 50-35 lead over Joe. And this is where I turn it over to Aaron.
Still anyone's game. Marcus, you can choose from the following categories. We got Bud Light on draft. We got Heineken. And we have Let It Go.
Bud Light on draft.
All right, these are five questions about various sports drafts. Number one, what current stud center for the Colorado Avalanche was the first overall pick in the 2013 NHL draft?
Oh, hockey, not my strong suit. I'm getting better, but this is something I should know. I'll just say Jones.
Jones is incorrect. Joe?
Is it Gabe Landeskog?
It is not. It is Nathan MacKinnon.
That's the other guy. Yeah, darn it.
Yep.
Landeskog's a good guess.
Yeah. Number two, back to Marcus. Tim Couch and Akili Smith turned out to be busts in the 1999 NFL draft, which must make Cleveland and Cincinnati that much matter that what Syracuse player was taken number two overall between those picks?
That would be Donovan McNabb.
That would be Donovan McNabb for 10 points. Number three. What high-scoring collegiate player was taken number one overall by the San Antonio Stars, marking the first time that the number one picks in both the WNBA and the NBA came from the same school in the same year?
That would be Kelsey Plum. Yep.
It would be.
Go Huskies, yeah. Baby.
Markelle Fultz was taken number one overall by the Sixers, though he now plays with the Magic. Plum has played her two most recent seasons with the Las Vegas Aces. Number four, what is the name of the Major League Baseball draft that takes place every year in December to stop teams from stockpiling and hoarding too many young players on their minor league teams when other teams could want them in the majors?
Is this the Rule 5 draft?
It is the Rule 5 draft for 10 points. And number five, the theater, it's capital T theater, at what venue has been home to more NFL drafts than any other, with 10? The most recent one was held there in 2004.
Let me state that I would love to be in Vegas for this draft and the water crap that's going on.
So dumb.
But this is a Radio City Music Hall.
Nope.
Joe? Oh, no.
Okay. I thought it was Radio City Music Hall, too. So what theater in New York could it be? What's the other one? Darn it. Lincoln Center? Is it Lincoln Center?
That is also incorrect. We are looking for Madison Square Garden.
Really? It's at Madison Square Garden? Huh.
This is what my spreadsheet says.
Did There's not know theater. That. All right.
On the lower floors of Madison Square Garden.
So upset.
Sure. All right.
I used to record the NFL draft all the time, and it was always Radio City Music Hall. Recency bias. I got to think. I had to think. It had to have been, you know, way earlier than that.
I thought you got it. 2004. I thought you nailed it. Yeah.
2004. That draft is old enough to get a driver's license now. The number one overall pick that year was Eli Manning, taken by the San Diego Chargers. Hmm. All right, Joe. It is to you. You can choose from Heineken or Let It Go.
Let's try Heineken.
All right, Heineken, these are five questions about Dutch athletes.
Cool.
Which means I'm not going to be able to pronounce a damn thing in this round. Number one, the phrase "no era penal" trended worldwide during the 2014 FIFA World Cup when what Dutch forward flopped to earn a penalty kick that ultimately helped the Dutch win the game?
Dutch forward known for flopping. I gotta go with Arjen Robben.
That is correct.
Yeah.
No era penal means there was no penalty. Robin also admitted to diving early in the match, but certainly not on that play. Ryan then inserted the text eye roll emoji and not an actual eye roll emoji.
Yeah. He is known for, of many things, he's known for only shooting with the left foot, almost eventually having no right foot, and also flopping a lot.
Nice. Oh, you should play for the Penguins.
Yeah.
Number two, the dunking Dutchman himself, Rick Smits, played his entire NBA career with what team?
Who did he play for? Was it for the Seattle Supersonics?
It was not. Marcus?
The Indiana Pacers.
Indiana Pacers is correct for 5 points.
Nice.
Number three, Daphne Schippers is the third fastest woman of all time at the 200-meter dash. She ranks behind two American women. Name either of them.
Okay. All time, I'm not sure if I should go for old school or new school. Let's try new school. I'm going to say Allyson Felix.
Allyson Felix is incorrect.
Darn.
Marcus?
Well, you and I were having the same internal debate because I was like, do I go new school or old school? And if it's not Allyson Felix, oh my gosh, I'm going to sound so stupid here. Oh, why? Joyner Kersee.
Joyner Kersee is also incorrect. We are looking for either Florence Griffith Joyner or Marion Jones.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Marion Jones, of course.
I was concerned if Marion Jones still counted or not. Yeah. Yep, darn it.
Mother.
Number four. Though neither man was the story of the tournament, Scotsman Peter Wright stopped Dutchman Michael van Gerwen from repeating as champion in the 2020 championships at what sport?
Huh. All right. Not the story of the tournament. So I think there was a story about a female darts player. So I'm going to go with darts.
It was darts.
Cool.
Well done.
Nice job. Yeah. Her name was Fallon Sherrock. Her first and second round wins were the focus of the tourney. Van Gerwen also defeated Wright to win the 2014 title.
I think that's that was a big clue in, not the story of the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Good question. Number five, Richard Krajicek is the only Dutch person to have won a major open in tennis. In which tournament did he defeat American underdog Molly Vi Washington in the finals?
1-4 shot here. With those odds, do I challenge? With those odds, do I challenge? You know what? I'll give myself a 75% shot with a challenge. I'll challenge Marcus on this one.
Ooh, Marcus, you've been challenged. What do you think?
It's interesting because, like, you challenging me when I do have a 1-in-4 shot, as opposed to if you're not sure at all if I know it, is I applaud that. That's awesome. Because now I'm like freaking out. Because if it's a rebound, I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'll just throw something out there.
But you get a 1-in-3 shot now. I had to do the math there.
All right. The French Open.
French Open is incorrect.
Oh.
Headset down. Damn it.
I can hear it, but I couldn't see it. I figured what's happened. Yeah, looking for Wimbledon.
Wimbledon.
Okay, I was like, what was the answer? Because I'm freaking out trying to find an answer.
Marcus pitched a temper tantrum and missed the answer. Yeah, we were looking for Wimbledon. Joe, with some excellent mental math, retains his 10 points.
Thank you.
And yeah, we are moving on to the second intermission. This is a fun one. I would like for you gentlemen to name the 6 most common jumps in figure skating. And we are going to leap into a promo.
Well done.
Thanks.
If you enjoy the Sports Trivia Face-Off, please consider contributing on Patreon at patreon.com/sportstriviafaceoff. And if you're already a contributor, thanks.
We're back with some answers. Joe, what 6 words did you write down?
Okay, so the 6 words that I hope are figure skating related, I said axle, lutz, toe loop, salchow. I'm hoping a jeté is a type of ballet transferred into ice dancing jump. And I've seen maybe 1 or 2 people that have done a backflip on ice, so I'll do a backflip.
Okay. And Marcus?
I didn't write 6 words down because I couldn't think of them. But I will say that I recited What Would Brian Boitano Do from the South Park Movie to come up with some of these answers.
All right.
So I said axle, salchow, lutz, and I just said hook because I don't know. I said hook.
That might be the best touchstone I've ever heard for any trivia question ever. And now it's going to be stuck in my head for the rest of the day. Your answer is
welcome.
It's not what I said. We have the axle. Jesus. Ooh. We have the axle. We have the lutz. We have the salchow. The toe loop. We have the loop and the flip, which I believe is different than a backflip. I don't think you can do a backflip in competition.
Yeah. Fine with me. Yep.
Okay. Ryan also points out, in case anyone wants to get spiky about it, the Euler jump, Euler jump, or half loop is rarely ever used. So fortunately, you guys knew that and didn't write it down.
Yeah, of course.
We had to make sure.
They were all over that.
That was in the song, too.
We don't have to, we don't have to go. Yeah.
The Euler jump is never used.
Yeah.
All right, Joe picked up 20, Marcus picked up 15. Going into the third period, Joe has 85, Marcus has 100. Brent, back to you.
Joe, we are to you. You have to choose between Just Suck for Once, You Spin Me Round, and Okie from Muskogee.
Okay. Let's try Just Suck for Once.
Just Suck for Once. These are 5 questions about the less successful seasons of successful sports teams.
Okay.
Number 1, the 1996-97 Boston Celtics finished dead last in the East that season. Their only bright spot was what first round pick out of Kentucky?
First round pick out of Kentucky. Who was good back then? Was it Antoine Jameson?
Antoine Jameson is incorrect, Marcus.
Little fun fact. I played a game right before the Sonics played the Celtics in this season. I saw this person in person, if it's who I think it is. And I think it's Antoine Walker.
Antoine Walker is correct for 5 points.
Darn it. Yep.
Ryan notes that any fans that still had a number 8 Walker jersey were very happy when Kemba Walker, who also wore number 8, got traded to Boston earlier that season.
They've just been holding it for
just in case.
almost 20 years. Oh, thank God.
It would have been funny if Kemba would have taken number 9 just to be a jerk, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Although, for all I know, number 9's retired for the Celtics because they have a lot of retired numbers. Number 2, the last time the Patriots didn't finish first or second in the AFC East, they finished 5th back in 2000. Who was their head coach at the time? He found far more success with his following 2 teams.
Yeah, was it Pete Carroll?
It was Pete Carroll. Very good. For 10 points.
Those teams having to be college and NFL. Yeah.
Yes. Number 3, the Canadiens have only made the playoffs 50% of the time since they were moved to what division of the Eastern Conference in 2013?
They're not in the Metro. That's where the Flyers are. So it has to be the Atlantic.
Atlantic is correct for 10 points. Okay. Number 4, the early 90s Yankees were pretty awful, but like Antoine Walker, their one bright spot was what Gold Glove winning first baseman?
Huh. First baseman for the Yankees. Martinez?
Martinez is incorrect. Marcus?
Right. Don Mattingly?
Don Mattingly is correct for a 5-point rebound.
I was worried it was too early for him.
Yeah.
Because I don't really have a good place in my head of when he played.
Right. Number 5. Doing so during the 2008-2009 season. What was the last Bundesliga team to win the league besides Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund?
Jeez. I have a guess, but I kind of want a challenge too. I'm less sure of my guess, of my good guess, than just giving up a challenge right now. So I'll just challenge Marcus.
Marcus, you have been challenged.
I like you. I wanted to like you until you asked me. Yeah, gosh. Like, the funny thing is, the very first time I ever came on here, I exhausted all of my soccer knowledge. And I got like 3 out of 5 in a category that I had no business getting 3 out of 5 in.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, I have no friggin' idea. So I'm just going to say Barcelona.
Barcelona is the wrong country, so it is incorrect. Looking for VfL Wolfsburg.
Okay, I will not.
While Bayern finished
that.
Second by only 2 points, Dortmund finished 6th on the table, 10 points out of the lead, which is nowhere near the lead that Liverpool has now.
There you go. That's what's up.
I've played Wolfenstein on the PC. Like, that's as close as I could have gotten to that.
Marcus, we are to you. You have to choose between You Spin Me Round and Oki from Muskogee.
You Spin Me Round.
You Spin Me Round. These are 5 questions about spinning in sports.
Oh, balls.
Number 1.
How could you have guessed? That's what it was going to be.
Could have been about records.
It could have been about records, sure.
I kind of thought it was going to be music.
I really would like a music sports crossover round. I'm putting it out in the universe. Ryan, if you're
Ryan,
doing that,
there you go.
Put it out. Do it.
You don't need to put it into the universe. Just text him about it. I'm sure.
Ryan at questions.com.
No, then you'll get a completely whole different set of questions.
You're right. I didn't think about that before I said it.
Yeah.
Don't look that up, anyone.
And I think he's probably already done that category too. Number 1. If you were playing Madden NFL 2005 on the PlayStation 2, what button would you press if you wanted your rusher to perform a spin move?
Circle.
Circle or O, that is correct for 10 points.
Yep.
Number 2. What was successfully done for the first time at the 1999 X Games during the Best Trick competition?
900?
Landing a 900 twist, that is correct. Tony Hawk did it. Number 3, what was the name given to Hakeem Olajuwon's signature post-up spin move?
Ooh, the Dream Shake.
The Dream Shake, along with the Skyhook. It is considered one of the most unguardable shots in NBA history. Number 4, cycling involves spinning, I guess. Egan Bernal, the 2019 Tour de France winner, won the 2018 Tour of California, the only top-level cycling tour in the U.S. This edition of the tour began in Long Beach and lasted 8 days before ending in what city that is home to a Big 4 North American sports team?
If it lasts 8 days and it ends, it starts in Long Beach and it ends in somewhere, I guess I'll just say Sacramento.
Sacramento is correct for 10 points.
Yeah. Nice.
And number five, usually left uncapitalized to avoid any confusion. What is the term in cue sports for putting side spin on a ball to affect its trajectory after being hit?
I should know this because my aunt played professionally, played on the professional tour for pool.
Oh, cool.
I don't know. But this is a spot for a challenge, but I hesitate because this is a tournament and he is very good and I'm having flashbacks of challenging some other contestant that I won't name that just roasted me. And so I'm gonna pass. I can't even think of a joke because I'm so upset at myself right now.
No answer, Joe.
That's so sad.
Is it a masse?
Masse is incorrect. We were looking for English.
Oh, sure.
My God. That was, what a dumbass.
Too easy, yeah. It seemed too easy.
And yeah, I was overthinking that so hard, and I want to punch myself in the face. Won't do it. Just drink my feelings away.
The score is after the third period. Marcus has 150. Joe has 115. It's still within reach with a sweep of the shootout. And here's how that works. In the shootout, both players take a shot at being the closest to the correct answer of three questions. If either player is closer on more questions than the other, they get 20 points. If a player is closer on all three questions, they get 50 points. If a player is within 10% of the correct answer on all three questions, they are awarded an extra 100-point hat trick bonus.
And here are your questions. Number one, the current age in years of Michaela Maroney. Number two, Jameis Winston's completion percentage during his time at Florida State. Number three, the number of career strikeouts thrown by Cole Hamels. And I'm out of Woody Transitions. Here comes a promo.
If you have a question or category suggestion, or you'd like to appear on the Sports Trivia Face-Off, always feel free to send an email to brent@sportstriviafaceoff.com or join the Sports Trivia Face-Off group on Facebook.
Question number one, the current age in years of Michaela Maroney. Joe, what did you say?
I said 27.
And Marcus?
I said 25.
Michaela Maroney is the ripe old age of 24.
Oh.
Marcus off by one, Joe off by three. Marcus also within 10%. Number two, Jameis Winston's completion percentage during his time at Florida State. Joe.
I said 64%.
And Marcus.
He won the Heisman, so I said 69%.
Yes, that logically follows. The answer was 66.
Damn. Ooh.
So Joe off by two, Marcus off by three. All tied up going into question number three. The number of career strikeouts thrown by Cole Hamels. Joe.
I said 3,000.
And Marcus?
I said 1969.
Normally, Marcus, I would not disparage your number guessing strategy. However, correct answer, 2,558. So Joe is off by 442. Marcus off by 589. Joe picks up 20 points for winning the shootout. It is not enough. Final yep. score. Joe, 135. Marcus, 150.
Marcus, you will be advancing to the next round of the tournament. Joe, you missed it by, you were off by two more years of Michaela Maroney's age. Otherwise, you would have had the sweep and you would be advancing.
It happens. You know what?
Such a great game, man. I was so nervous. I was like, I just got to get one of these.
Yeah.
Because I'm very bad at it. The shootout always freaks me out because I'm like, I'm an idiot, so.
Yeah, the shootout's really rough for me, too. Darn it. Should have kept up on Michaela Maroney and her Instagram. From what I hear, she has an excellent Instagram, but you know what? I'm not creepy.
I am creepy, and yes, it's fantastic.
So, Joe, thank you for volunteering to be part of the tournament. Sorry you won't be moving on. Is there anything you'd like to say in closing?
Absolutely. I mean, thank you guys for doing this. This is an awesome thing. Best of luck, Marcus. Big shout out to Ryan for putting all these questions together. And wish you all the best. Thanks for having me on. Hopefully I get to do this again sometime soon.
And Marcus, any final words from you? We will hear from you in the semifinals.
He who will not be named, who I've participated against before, if he's going to, I noticed that I'm on the same side of his bracket, so all I'll say is, I am coming for you. I am coming for you, and if it's not you, I'm going to be upset.
Oh, bring us some heat.
Listen, I am coming after you. I am going to, no, I can't say that. Never mind. It's going to be bad for you.
Keep in mind, you've got two attorneys on the line here.
Exactly. This is why I'm not going to incriminate myself of a future crime? Question mark? Anyways, thanks for having me. I love the show. Yeah, you guys are the best. So thank you.
Thank you very much. So for Aaron and Marcus and Joe, my name is Brent. We will see you for the next quarterfinal next time you download.
This has been the Sports Trivia Face-Off. Thank you very much for listening. The Sports Trivia Face-Off is hosted by Brent Bollmeyer and Aaron Barkley. Questions are written by Ryan Clefcorn Myers. And the Sports Trivia Face-Off is recorded, edited, and produced by Brent Bollmeyer.
Number three, the Canadiens have made only... Try that again. Aaron's not here to make fun of me. That's good.
I mean, I could if you want me.
We could do this for you too, I guess.
Come on, Brent. Jeez.
What the
man? Yeah, talk much, Brent.
Dummy.
Is this your first podcast, man? Jeez.
Not much. This isn't even my first one today. No, where the hell was I? Number four. And by the way, I had a flawless set of takes while you were gone.
So I was standing out of frame watching the two men on the bottom laughing their asses off. So I didn't believe you.
Is one of you going to be under arrest here shortly?
Well, define shortly, first of all.
Oh, that's right.